B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
We're trying to figure it out.
This is Betsy is what's his name? Jason Witten's helmet.
Is that really the name of his helmet?
Yeah, he named his helmet Betsy.
Why would you name his helmet Betsy? Out of all things you could possibly name the helmet, you name it Betsy?
Yeah, Betsy.
He's a weird dude, man. He's real weird.
Yeah. We're trying to figure out what he named the wig.
Oh. I'm not even going to say anything about that one. We'll keep that one to Trey. Trey, you can use your magical mind in order to figure out what the name of that one is.
We're trying to come up with something.
Well, I just need to first ask you, what is Zach Ertz getting paid?
I want to say he's up around 11, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right. And then Dallas Goedert's obviously got a rookie
deal. Yeah, he's on his rookie deal.
Oh, man.
So Ertz is – oh, actually, Ertz is higher than that. I'm sorry. His yearly – oh, actually, he's only 9.138. His cap hit is only 3.3. Mm. Actually, the Ertz deal –
that's a good one.
Wait, I'm sorry. This year, he's 6.2. Next year, it skyrockets up to 13.2.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I thought he was like 6.
Yeah, and then the year after that, it's 11.8.
So for $2 million more, we get a much better tight end than Jason Witten.
Yes.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm really trying to figure out how exactly, like, this whole situation got to where it is with the Cowboys. Not that I really care, because I love to watch them just burn down and play.
It's like they haven't planned for the future, Graf.
What'd you say?
It's like they almost haven't prepared for the future. Like, they're getting caught, in the moment, like, oh, wait, all these guys are due money, and we have other young, promising players that are going to be due money? Like, oh.
And you know, the funny thing is, Jamie, is when you bring up the linebacker thing, and everybody talks about it, we got these great linebackers and everything else. And you just say to yourself, well, today's league, linebacker's not covering a spot. He's probably not going to be able to cover Zach Ertz or Dallas Goedert. Like, neither one of those two. So you're really investing your money in a position that is kind of outdated. So I'm not really 100% sure why people are so amped up on the linebacker side of the house for the Cowboys, but you still have a whole ton of players that need to get paid. And now, like, this whole Dak thing is hysterical to me. Who on earth thinks that he deserves to get paid $40 million?
He does.
Like, He can't win a football game without Zeke Elliott, though. Whatever, man. Just let it burn, man. It's great.
Graf, I got it. Let me ask you this, Graf. If there was a Philly team from any era that you would love to see cameras of Hard Knocks follow, who would it have been?
Well, am I going for Fan Fest tickets here? Because I already have some. I don't want to.
No, you're just going for the sheer entertainment of this program.
Oh, dude, it's got to be the 04 Eagles, man.
Yeah. Oh, right. That was what Trey said last night.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen that. Graf, thanks a lot for the call. I would love to have seen that. Maybe see a little Hugh and T.O. in there. That was 05, though, right?
05
was
when
05 was the...
All right, it went bad, right?
Right. Would you rather have it there when it went bad or when it was going real good?
I would like to see ourselves.
Yeah?
04, yeah, I'll go back and watch that.
Yeah. That'd be a good... There's so many good answers.
Yeah.
There really is. And you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. The 6 a.m. hour brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners, the area's number one resource for all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear with delivery right to your job site. Call or shop online at PantherEast.com. So that 04 team, you have the cast of characters that you had. Obviously, Terrell Owens,
mm-hmm.
Hugh Douglas. Those have to be the headliners,
Hugh,
right?
Hugh might steal the show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know HBO would do something special on Doc. You know, the idiot man and the Wolverine and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Who would have been like the undrafted free agent that they make a
That's
really
what I was just going to ask. Like, who was the story of that year, the underlying story, Trey, that you might remember, like a guy that contributed that maybe you didn't think was going to, or was it just full of guys? Westbrook was already in his own. Like, he had already established himself.
Yeah, I have no
idea.
The name that came to mind for me was Greg Lewis.
Oh, G. Lou?
Yeah, G. Lou's not bad, because they didn't have, you know, you had a
Sean Andrews was a rookie that year.
Oh, geez, there's a crazy story for you.
Yeah.
Sean was
extremely talented coming in.
Yeah.
D. Burge was a young player still. I think he was in his third year. I'm trying to look at the young guys on the team that year.
Well, the person, obviously, McNabb is your personality, so he's going to shine on that.
You got the freak.
Yeah, you have the story of the two tackles that are just the mainstays and the heart and soul of the team, and you and Runyon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of great storylines there.
Yeah, I would like to go back and watch that.
So the rookies that year were Dexter Wynn, Matt Ware, Thomas Tepe.
Matt Ware, Jesus.
Thomas Tepe, running back, right?
Yeah. Well,
fullback, fourth round pick.
Jason Short, J.R. Reed, Josh Perry, Eric McCoo. I don't even remember him.
Yeah, Josh Perry.
Mike
running back?
Labino, Jamal Green.
Was Reed the guy that jumped over
Andrews.
The fence?
That was J.R. Reed.
The fence hurt his foot. Yeah,
from South
Florida.
He never came back from that.
Right?
No, he did come back.
He did come back. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah, he was never the same. He showed a lot of promise.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, until the nerve.
I think
damage.
He was chasing his dog or something.
I don't know
something
what
weird.
Yeah.
Went to jump the fence
and then like hit a nerve in that and I think he had a dead foot.
Yeah, drop foot
or drop foot. Right.
Was Eric McCoo the running back from Maryland?
I have no idea.
That was Marilyn McCoo.
He was
Penn
State.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
stop showing off your knowledge here, Egan.
I'm just wondering. I'm curious.
Yeah. Okay. So the storylines of that season, obviously you had Terrell Owens and McNabb go at it on the sidelines a little bit when that loss was to Pittsburgh. No.
The blowout was the following year, I believe.
I know, but if you remember in the year that they went to the Super Bowl, your first loss was in Pittsburgh. I think they were 7-0. Remember this game?
I was there.
And they started getting blitzed.
I thought that was the following year for some reason.
No, Terrell Owens went, right, Egan?
Yeah, they were 7-0, and T.O. was following him on the sidelines. He's trying to
walk
away.
McNabb's trying to walk away, and Terrell Owens is like chirping in his ear, Give me the ball. What are we doing here?
A couple of Yinzers tried to fight me and my buddy in the parking lot after the game.
Well, see, that was a story that could have been on Hard Knocks also. You know, the struggles of Jamie Lynch,
bunch of
Eagles fans,
French fry sandwich eating weirdos out there,
and then so that would have been if you know we're not talking about just training camp, we're talking about having it the whole year. So the behind the scenes of what happened in the Super Bowl,
I mean, Amazon did the story on the Cardinals where they followed them throughout. It was basically Hard Knocks in season,
right?
Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. And they do it now they did it with Man City and the EPL. They've done those types of things, and it got me thinking, like, who would be the best team to follow for the year if you could go back and look at it?
Yeah.
So
You guys are cool. I have a couple other characters. Yeah, I have a few other teams.
I think Hugh would definitely steal the show.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would
crazy.
Be, and I always look for, like, the understudy guy. Hugh would be here, and he'd draw everything.
D. Burge would be, like, the understudy.
From what Trey has said, he might be the guy that you look at and go, I want to see more of him.
Yeah. When did Hugh get in a fight with T.O.?
That was 05.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Mike and Delran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Mike?
Oh, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, the Hard Knocks thing, are you keeping it to just football?
No. Any Philly team of any era. Only give me one.
Any Philadelphia Phillies season that had Lenny Dykstra there.
I mean, the 93 Phils would have to be very high up on people's lists.
Absolutely. That would be
those maniacs popping their greenies.
Isn't he getting ready to fight the Bagel Boss?
Yeah, he's fighting the Bagel Boss.
Huh. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
he's going to destroy Bagel Boss.
Dallas just sucks. And I love every minute of it. Like, yeah, you know what? Give him 80. Did you see what Bryce Harper got? He should get that. Like, I want them to drain every dollar possible into Dak Prescott. Because that dude sucks. He's a fraud. I don't care what those stats say. You know, I know what my eyes say. My eyes say he's nowhere near the best quarterback in the NFL. He's not even in the top 10. So the more money they dump on him, the less money they got for anyone else. Let Ezekiel Elliott sit out for a whole season. That team's a train wreck, and everything that possibly could go wrong is just positive for us.
Yeah, why not, right?
I don't care what they do over there. I just want that man to get paid. I am rooting for him to get paid.
Mike, did you hear our poll question of the day by any chance earlier concerning Jamie? Now, let me ask you this. You have a young daughter, right?
I have a young son.
Young son, all right. Yep. Would you be allowed, if you were in Jamie's shoes, not be allowed, I shouldn't
be
say.
Be allowed?
Would you? All right, you're right. I corrected myself. Would you propose to your wife to go to a Sixers game on Christmas Day if it was your son's first Christmas?
I wouldn't propose it.
You would not?
I know.
Mike's a man's man.
Listen, guys, I'm in 3 poker leagues. I'm in a pool league. I'm out all the time. I know that my wife is cool as hell and would let me do and agree to me do whatever I have. but there are things that I know not to ask for. Not to do something on a kid's birthday, not to do something on her birthday, and not to do something on Christmas. That would get me murdered.
What if they were free tickets from the opposing team's owner?
If they were from the opposing team's owner, my life would probably be a little different.
Yeah.
If I'm that cool.
If my feet are on the court, I feel like I got a little case
here. These are court-side seats now.
Court-side seats from...
Potentially, my cousin is tight with the Bucks owner. And he just threw me a text like, hey, if I got tickets, would you be interested?
It depends how tight you are with your wife, bud.
Yeah, they're not going to be tight if he goes to that Christmas game. I'll tell you that.
Give me that game from the couch. Yeah.
See you
guys later.
All right, thanks, Mike. Yeah, the Dykstra team, let's condense that a little bit. We'll go 93, like you said. 93 Phillies.
I think that has to be a top three one.
Because what they did, I mean, they were legendary when the games got done. They stayed in the locker room until 3 in the morning drinking beers.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's just what they did.
Yeah, they were like, I mean... Those guys were nuts.
We had a
not
guy.
Not naturally nuts. Wink, wink.
I was working. I know what you mean. I was working at the Daily News at the time, and we had a guy. The normal baseball guy would take off Friday nights when the Phillies were home. All right. The guy that covered the beat guy that covered the Phillies. So we had a guy step in every Friday night. He hated that group because of just what we were explaining.
Oh, they
because
were,
they were impenetrable. You know, they're just
people act like they were like this beloved group. They were kind of jerks.
Yeah. They were the men of this. Nobody else belongs.
Yeah,
blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. And it was fine. It carried them to a World Series. But yeah, they weren't like beloved by a lot of people.
No, it wasn't a warm and fuzzy group.
No, it certainly wasn't. But, you know, they did what they had to do and they got to a World Series. But that was one of the first groups that popped into my mind when I thought about cameras following around a Philadelphia team. So when you call, we're talking Eagles, Sixers schedule just came out. Phillies, can we say it again? Another big series, but they do. They have the Cubs coming in. They're still only a few games out from a wild card. So you have to take a look at that. Time into the Fanatics, 7-11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Morning show, Farzetta and Trey. Bob Cunahan for Mark Farzetta today. Trey Thomas, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan producing. So, recap yesterday. Not much came out of Eagles practice, Jane. Except a little tussle. What does Trey call it? A kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle.
All right. So you had one of them.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah. You know what? So Hard Knocks is on Tuesday nights. I didn't see
tonight.
It last Tuesday. Right. So I watched it last night because last night was a boring sports night.
I'll
so
probably watch
night.
It tomorrow because it's not on until 9 or 9:30, right?
I think it's 10.
10.
Even.
Yeah.
I think
I'll probably
10.
Watch it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. It's been good. I mean, Gruden... I think he's incredibly overrated as a coach, but he's entertainment.
He's entertainment. And, you know, for people that don't know
and
the ins
and
outs.
His speech was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
The speech where he talked about basically we have three things.
We have to be a nightmare. Like everybody's dream is
we're
to make
a bleeping nightmare.
We have to be a bleeping nightmare. We're
that
not here to
good.
Play for the bleeping Orange Bowl. We're here to play for the Super
yeah,
Bowl.
We're not playing for the Blue Bonnet Bowl, we said. Yeah.
It was good.
He is entertaining. I think he absolutely knows when the camera's shining on him.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? But there's an instance for those of you who saw the first Hard Knocks, Jonathan, is it Abraham or Abram?
I think it's Abram.
Jonathan Abram, a safety for the Raiders, and a really likable kid. I mean, they picked the right guy to focus on. Him going out to dinner with Derek Carr with the team and him talking to Derek Carr. Man, signed 120.
Yeah.
Your kid's never going to... If I'm your kid, I ain't ever working.
Yeah. It was funny. He was like, is it salmon or salmon?
Yes.
And Derek
goes,
Carr's
if I
like,
want to call it salmon, I'll call it salmon.
Derek Carr's like, come on, man. You got some money now. You're going to be eating at some nice places.
Yeah.
You got to know these things.
So the Hard Knocks stuff was cool, but at one point, John Gruden had to pull Abram aside and say, when they were just going shorts and shirts, he's like, you know, dude, you got to slow it down a little bit. You're trying to blow people up, and I can't have collisions among you guys, whatever. And it was kind of cool the way Abram went after him. He's like, well, what if I do this? What if I do that? Like, I just want to hit.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that was kind of the situation that happened yesterday, it appears, at Eagles training camp, where Andre Dillard got into a tussle with Derek Barnett. It appears from what people were saying that Andre Dillard
was going hard.
Goes hard and might not know how to lighten up a little bit. And as Trey said, may have taken a couple people to the ground, which is frowned upon and understandably so, whatever.
I get both sides of it.
I do too.
But you'd much rather have Andre Dillard doing that than being the opposite and being a little soft and timid. You'd rather rein the guy's aggressiveness in rather than have to ramp him up to get to that point.
Exactly.
So I think it's a great thing.
Look who he's protecting.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
And you look, I understand Derek Barnett finds it annoying. He's, you know, coming back off the surgery and all that stuff. But that's going to make you better.
Yeah.
So it's a good situation all around.
Yeah.
They talked it out.
Yeah, they had Howie Roseman got involved. Yeah. Doug Peterson,
the
they called them both over.
And said, kids, come on.
Shook
now.
Hands, little bro hug, yeah. Whatever. There may have been some tears shed by Andre Dillard.
I highly doubt any of these are ever really that personal.
Well, I've gotten in fights at practice. I mean, we've all done it before.
Yeah, but most of the time, if you don't hurt the person, it's no big deal at the end. It's just like,
yeah.
All right, man, you know, like, my bad. We were battling out there. Like, all right, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I had one guy in high school that we got in a pretty good fist fight. I think it was my junior year, and we didn't really like each other. And we competed. We were playing, you know, same position, yeah. And we pretty much didn't like each other.
Well, sometimes that happens,
but that's okay.
It's not personal most of the time.
But guess what? If he was covering me or I was covering him, I wanted to win that battle, that's exactly what you're
saying. And Andre Dillard sees Derek Barnett, you know, first round pick, University of Tennessee, sack leader all time. He probably goes, all right, I got to step it up here.
Yeah.
Good, I love it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mind that stuff at all. And we're also talking about Brandon Books yesterday went up against Isaac Seumalo, just doing a little live action, a little more live action, and it was posted on social media. He looks pretty good.
Good.
I mean, he's moving fine, and it's great to see, obviously, whether he'll be ready for week one. Trey said, you know, he's going to have to get some doctor's clearance, probably. Week one maybe is a stretch, but it looks like he's going to be ready early in the season.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, you're counting on him. If, you know, there was a rumor I saw on Twitter going around that, you know, Big V has some trade interest around the league, a guy that could play probably swing tackles and now maybe a little bit of guard. It's a versatile piece. And if Dillard looks the real deal, Maialata's go to the right. And if you're keeping Maialata, you know, it kind of Big V is expendable in a way.
Yeah.
So there's rumors out there that he could be traded. I forget who it was that was on with us like 2 weeks ago, thought maybe Big V to the Texans and not for Jadeveon Clowney, mind you.
Yeah.
Could be an option. And that doesn't happen unless they feel pretty good about Brandon Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a good sign that there's rumors out there about Big V.
Yeah, that's a good sign. The way Dillard played on Thursday night, I thought was a good sign. And talking to Trey about it, he just
great.
Looked really good. Always kept the guy in front of him. It looks like minimal movement just to keep the guy away.
He's going
to
play this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jason Peters, 80-85% maybe.
That's probably what you'll
if
get.
If he doesn't get hurt?
Yeah. You know, he comes out of games. It's just it's the reality of being, what, a 37-year-old
yeah.
tackle?
Yeah.
And, you know, and when he's in, he's still good. It's just you're going to have a suitable backup, and Dillard looks like he's that.
Yeah. So, also what came out yesterday was that Dak Prescott, Cowboys quarterback, decided not to take $30 million a year, that he deserves more, and Will Cain put out there, ESPN Radio's Will Cain put out there that, well, his numbers are better than Carson Wentz. A little bit, but eye test tells us different. But, you know, if the Cowboys want to spend $50 million on Dak Prescott, have at it. Joe from West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, Joe?
I had a couple of questions. First, I want to ask you the Twitter poll question. Like, man, I'm with you. You have to go to the game, you know what I'm saying? Like Trey said, man, the kid is, he ain't going to remember nothing. She's not going to remember none of that stuff.
Yeah, but you're going to be there to open the gifts in the morning anyway, so you should be good.
It's not like I'm abandoning all day, yeah.
The baby won't remember, Joe, but the wife will remember, Joe.
You know, you be waving on TV to everybody.
From the front I'll make a little sign for her as I'm sitting courtside.
Yeah,
I missed my baby's first Christmas for this.
You didn't miss it. You were there.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, you'd be home. But I think about the Dak and Wentz. I think they a little closer than that, man. I think they push each other. I think since they both came in the league and their division, the Eagles and the Cowboys, been both of these teams, you know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, of course. But both of these teams been, you know, kind of taking off on, you know, different gears at a time. And I think neither one of them want to lose the grip that they got. And that's why I think Dak can get his money. He's going to get paid, and Carson got his money. Because, I mean, if anything happens to Carson, like the Cowboys are going to take off with it and vice versa. I think these two guys, you know, head up. I think for the franchises, you know, to stay on equal ground, I think they really push each other to get paid. Because, I mean, you look at the stats. Doesn't look like a Hall of Fame stat so far for either one of them. I just think they push each other to the point that the franchises, you know what I mean? The franchise, nobody's looking for a backup. Nobody's looking for a future quarterback. They both right here and now franchises, and they both good teams. So I think they pushing each other for that big contract.
Yeah, that's all right. And I'm sure they love the competition with each other if it means, you know, more money, more money, more money. Joe, thanks for the phone call. Is there that inter-rivalry?
I think so. I mean, Dak and Carson?
I think I told you, I was having lunch with an NBA player one time, and we were just talking. He said, part of the conversation came up. He said, just don't forget, at the end of the day, if I'm having lunch with another NBA player, just, you know, as I'm having lunch with you, as we're looking each other in the eyes, we're both thinking, how much he makes, how much I... like, it never, like,
yeah,
you know, leaves
I think
there.
There's a natural... I mean, same draft, same division, pretty similar results so far. I mean, Carson, yeah, I think, had the best season of either of them for 2017.
Oh, God, yeah.
By far, I think Dak has been healthy, which is a huge advantage for him. He has won a playoff game, which... So, yeah, I just think it's naturally a good rivalry.
Trey, I think I know your answer, but did you ever compare yourself to others in division and even more so in league as far as left tackles?
No.
You never saw Jonathan Ogden at the Pro Bowl? Like, yo, I'm better than you, bro.
No.
In your head, you weren't thinking that?
No.
I love your mindset for playing pro sports.
Yeah.
It's all about just what you have to do and help the team win.
Yeah, I couldn't think about any of that. I didn't care.
Are you the norm or are you the rare one?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you saw egos, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't care.
That's so funny to me.
Yeah.
That's so funny that you just have that one road the way you go. I mean, that's why we've had great left tackles for 25 years in this town.
Yeah.
Mike from Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. First time caller, 4 for 4 guy.
Thanks for joining.
Welcome.
I just want to say I appreciate the fan fest that you guys put on every year.
Do you have tickets yet, Mike?
I do not have tickets.
All right.
Yet.
Well, when you're done your call, you hang on the line because we're going to give you a couple.
Oh, great. Awesome. I was just calling in about the Hard Knocks. I wanted to say that I think that T.O. Donovan McNabb would have been an interesting episode.
Yeah. So the year that they blew up or the first year that they were together?
Is it
05? 05 is when it all blew up, when T.O. was doing the sit-ups in the driveway.
Oh, yeah, 05 was not good.
Yeah, that would have had me coming back each week to see what was going on with that saga.
Yeah, that's 2004 would have been cool because of the success. 2005, as much as you hate to say it, would have been just as fun to watch because of the blow-up, right?
Yeah.
I was actually out. All right, Mike, hold on a second. We'll get you FanFest tickets. Oh, I think I hung up on Mike. My fault, Pat.
Call back, Mike.
Yeah, in 2005, after the day that he did the sit-ups, I had to go out to T.O.'s house and sit in the court in Morristown.
Yeah, you did?
And wait for him to, like, come out and talk to us again. So there was a bunch of us there. You know,
How many media members were there? Because I remember there being,
probably,
like, 40?
There was a lot. So he lived in a court, so we were all kind of just parked around there. The biggest thing that happened, a kid came up and delivered a pizza to T.O. Now, every once in a while, we'd see him peek out. You know, he'd open a shade and look out and see
that's
us
so
or whatever.
Weird.
And we're like, come on out. Just give us a statement. That's it. We'll leave. So a delivery boy comes with a pizza. Sure enough, he comes walking out of the house. Don't the media start, of course, making their way towards him? And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is what it's come to. I'm
talking to a pizza delivery boy
about Terrell Owens.
Did he tip you?
How
was his move?
So he said, yeah, he gave me a $5 tip, and I threw it back at him and said, we don't even want you here with the Eagles. We had the bad boy of pizza delivery telling Terrell Owens he didn't need him around anymore. He said he threw his tip back. I don't know if he was telling the truth or not.
I doubt it.
There's no way he's throwing that tip back.
No, I wouldn't think so.
T.O. was opening the door. No.
It was actually a lady that opened the door.
Ooh,
it wasn't
a lady.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know which would have been more, I don't want to say fun, because success is fun. What would have been more interesting to watch, though? The fall apart or the rise to the Super Bowl? Because you're
probably
talking
the rise.
I don't know. You're talking the Hugh Douglas, Donovan,
I mean, that would be pretty
Terrell
good.
Owens thing. Towel snapping.
Yeah. That would be
that's
pretty good.
Donovan getting injured week one against the Falcons, too.
Right. Yeah. Victoria tweeted in one. I don't think too many other people are going to say this one, so I'll just throw it out there. She tweeted in the 2014 Chip Kelly season.
Oh, that's not bad. Trey, you would have been a part of that. Trey just choked on his energy drink.
Huh.
It would be interesting to watch, but Chip probably would have never granted access to him.
No.
But it would be interesting to watch how he interacted with everybody. I mean, you lived it firsthand.
Yeah, that was his first year, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there was a book written about it.
Yeah?
There was?
Yeah, it was by David Mulk. He used a pseudonym, but the internet figured out it was David Mulk. It's called NFL Confidential. It's a decent look into Chip Kelly. But yeah, he the first thing he says is like, don't try to even figure me out. You won't be able to. And the internet was like, oh, okay. Challenge accepted. And it wasn't that hard to figure out.
Don't challenge the internet.
And if you read the book, it's pretty obvious who he's talking about. But yeah, it was an interesting look into Chip Kelly.
Huh. I must read this book.
Yeah, NFL Confidential.
NFL Confidential.
The cool thing would be if cameras caught assistant coaches talking bad about Chip.
Yeah, you wouldn't have caught that.
What did he used to tell you to do? To hit the lights?
Hey, just hit the lights, man.
Hey, they paint into the back of the room. There's Trey. Hey, Trey, hit the lights.
Hit the lights.
And then he starts cursing under his breath like, this mother bleeping Chip Kelly.
Turn it down.
I'll suplex you through that damn table. I'm going to knock your lights out.
We spent the first 10 minutes of our meetings was always story time.
Oh, so you started.
Oh, you hated it.
I hated it.
And then Chip was telling the story?
Yeah. Oh, it was my always God. Between
personal
he and,
stuff.
Yeah, he and who was the receivers coach at the time? I can't think of his name.
Was it G Lou?
No, it wasn't G Lou. G Lou wasn't the receivers coach at the time. It was
he probably brought in one of his Oregon guys.
Yeah,
or
he brought in somebody that had already coached under him for a while. It was the receivers coach. But they would always have, like, the first 10, 15 minutes of coaching meetings were story time.
So he lost you right off the bat.
Yeah, I was done. I'm sitting there like, dude, really? I mean, can we please get through this so we can get going? And, you know, because I got a lot of film I want to get into.
Yeah.
And I want to break some stuff.
Bob Bicknell.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah.
Old Bobby Bicknell.
Yeah. So it was
good work by you.
Yeah, story time. Story
old Bobby.
Time.
Yeah. Did he have any good stories at all? Or was it you
it was
just kind of tuned
just
out?
Weird stuff, you
was
know,
he funny?
Yeah, Chip was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, we would always watch Steve Spurs meltdowns. You know, so that would be cool. Like, I think Fridays was always, all right, so let's watch the Steve Spurrier meltdown. And then, like, that's how I found the baseball coach from the University of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Because he pulled up his meltdown, and we watched that before one of our meetings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's awesome. That's really funny. But can we get
moving here?
Yeah.
Wait, so Doug Peterson has Let's Go Get Some Ice Cream Men, and Chip Kelly had Let's Watch Some Meltdowns?
Yeah, story time. It was all part of story time.
Did you go against Spurrier at Florida State?
Yeah.
He was there?
Yeah.
No. The old ball coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I just, a Hard Knocks with Chip Kelly, and who brought it up on Twitter?
That was Victoria.
Oh, Victoria.
Victoria.
That's one
it's
that
an
I
interesting
didn't
one because that wasn't in my top like five or six,
and I have a top five or six.
Because I
have five or
those
six.
Chip Kelly years out.
Yeah, because when you think of badness, when you think of
the first year and a half was really damn exciting.
It was cool because it was different. The
that's
music,
because Trey
the
was
high,
there. You know, there was a certain standard.
Exactly. he was having guys have Pro Bowl seasons that never had Pro Bowl seasons before. Because
but
of
it
his
was
coaching.
That was look I. Well, I was chugging the Chip Kelly Kool-Aid after year one.
But his first year, I'm sitting there like, you're going to run this many plays in practice? It was ridiculous. They were just go. I think we ran like 60-some plays in the first practice. No repeats. Just go.
And then we'll figure it out in the film room. That was his thing. Right?
Hey,
we'll
just
coach you up in the film
just
room.
Just go.
Let's get as many in as we can.
So his wasn't to perfect it on the field. Unlike like a Vince Lombardi. I'll run six plays and we'll run six of them perfectly.
No.
He just threw a thousand of them out there and go.
Just go. And it was just fast.
Was it entertaining as far as being a coach out on the field? Like,
I kept
your attention,
right? Because you were just on to the next play, and then you always had to look. The hardest thing was getting the hand signals down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding, okay, well, hold on, wait a minute. He touched his belt. What's that number? So everything where let's see. So if one hand was up, that was one, then two, and then the top, if you put two hands up, that was two. If you touched the head, it was three. Chin was four, I think.
Was he rubbing his nipples
chest
for five?
Was five, yeah. Their belly button, would, like, if he rubbed his waist was six, knee was seven, something. So, you know, when you run plays, it's all numbers. Uh-huh. So you had to, like, all right, it was 2-3. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was a way that, and then you had the other guy that was throwing fake signals. So you had to see, oh, all right, well, which one is going to be live, man. It was crazy.
Did it drive you nuts being the perfectionist that you are? That a play would get run, and you might watch it and say, oh, man, he messed that up, and you're going to the next play?
Yeah, you had to just keep moving.
Yeah, but did it drive you crazy?
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember one time we, because they had this genius idea that they wanted to, instead of going silent count the way the rest of the NFL does, where no one says anything, you go off the center's head movement. Mm-hmm. Well, they had this genius idea of making the center, Kelsey, say, set, go. You know what I'm saying? So they were like, hey, man, we want Kelsey to say set, go. And I'm like, all
right. Isn't that just tipping the D-line off a little bit?
Well, not even that. What if a D-lineman says set, go?
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, man, I'm just going to show you this real quick, coach. You know, and I went up to the D-lineman. I'm like, not right now. Just at some point, I want one of y'all to just say set, go. And they did it. And the entire offensive line jumped. And I was like, all right, so there you go.
Did he receive?
Yeah, then they changed it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm like, you know, there's a reason why.
I think the perception of Chip is that he was kind of stubborn enough where he would take that type of advice and not.
Well, that one right there was kind of like, all right, you know what? Yeah, we might want to change that.
All right, yeah, you make a good point, Trey.
All right, cool, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be an interesting season, though. Yeah. That would be a good one. That I didn't even think about.
That's a real good one. Well, you know what else is real good? How about Coors Light?
I like Coors Light.
I like Coors Light.
Yeah,
sure.
Coors Light.
We can take some Coors Light. Well, Coors Light wants to see how you're keeping it cool this summer. You hanging at the beach, brushing your teeth in the shower like Crazy Sam does, or are you just chilling out at the pool? Well, here's what's going to happen. If you send us your made-to-chill photo just of yourself, something you do just to chill out, you can enter to win a week down the shore, Sea Isle City, courtesy of Coors Light. Jane, Coors Light, week at the pool? Trey, I think we could do that. Mm-hmm. Close your summer with a chill week at the shore from August 17th to August 24th. That's right. 1 week down the shore on them. You only have now through this Wednesday, August 14th, to enter to win. Coors Light wants to see how you're keeping it cool this summer. Send a picture of yourself.
It's so easy. I went to the website today. You literally can just do it right from your phone. There's a button, a little thumbnail. It says upload your photo. Boom. You're in and out in 30 seconds.
There it is.
You can be drinking Coors Lights in the outdoor shower down the shore in no time.
Oh, man. Just show us how you chill this summer. Go to the contest page at 975thefanatic.com for details and official contest rules. It's all there. And if you have to be available on August 17th to August 24th, one random entry will be selected to win the prize of a week at the shore.
I hate to say you're dumb if you don't do this, but you're kind of dumb if you don't do this. It was that easy.
Yeah. And all you have to do is show yourself chilling out. Like Trey, painting.
Yeah.
Coors
Trey
Light.
Getting his Bob Ross on in the basement. That's chilling.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't get interrupted by a kid, you know, playing around with each other, you're good to go.
Just making a picture of yourself chilling, however you chill. It's that easy.
That's right. It is that easy. Time at the Fanatic is 7:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Morning show, Farzetta and Trey. Bob Cooney in for Mark Farzetta. We got Trey Thomas. We got Jamie Lynch. We got Pat Egan. Sam Wilson doing some stuff. We got a lot of stuff going on today, even though last night was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Ah, Trey, is that one of yours?
Well, of course.
Of course. Trey, nobody. Yeah, we came back a little early. Jay, all right? You look a little confused.
I heard you guys. I went to the bathroom real quick and
I know.
Came back and I heard you guys talking. I was like, what the?
Yeah, that break got cut a little bit.
Yeah, it was a technical difficulty.
I was like, what's that?
Sounds like it was an Egan difficulty.
What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, what are you
going
to do? Those things happen. You like to have us back here as soon as possible. Well, we want to remind you, Twitch TV. Watch Farzetta and Trey with me, Jamie, and Sam, and sometimes Egan, on Twitch. Simply follow 97.5 The Fanatic on twitch.tv for our post-show showcast. And pretty soon, I think we're going to be going to Twitch full-time. Right, Jamie?
Yeah, I believe any day now.
As far as we know, yeah.
So you can stream you know, Bobby's beautiful face there for 4 hours every day.
Oh, we get you for 9 hours today on the radio,
oh,
don't we?
Oh, yeah. Me and the Tunis coming up a little bit later on middays.
It really is 9 hours.
Yeah.
I don't think I could listen to anyone for 9 hours.
5 a.m. to 2 you. P.m. Well, wow. Luckily it's not all me all the time. I'm not alone. I have a team around me.
Oh, dude, you have a team. He has a team that surrounds him, Trey. Yeah. Trey, we're his surrounding team.
It takes a village.
Jamie's show. We're his surrounding team.
I wouldn't want to listen to me for 9 hours.
My
wife certainly doesn't want to listen to me for 9 hours.
Well, she won't have to.
Without a team around me, it'd be kind of stupid.
She won't have to Christmas. You're not going to be home, apparently, according to you. So news out of yesterday's Eagles training camp. Guys are coming back, it seems like. Guys are healing. A little bit of a fight. May have been some tears. Jamie and I like it. Trey loves it. You don't want to have to rev up an offensive lineman like an Andre Dillard to play harder. If he's doing anything wrong, it looks like he's playing a little bit too hard in camp. And he and Derek Barnett got into it yesterday. Picture in the paper today, also one that hit social media, that it looks like that Andre Dillard has his head down a little bit, might be wiping away some moisture from the eye area.
Yeah, just a little residue in the tear ducts. I mean, you know, what is this fluid? You know, there's salty discharge that's coming out of my eyes. You know, I think it's all right. I mean, sometimes you got to just let that out, man. It's okay.
Yeah,
no cry shaming in 2019.
No, we don't do that.
No.
Especially here, we don't do that at all. So Trey, who's the starting offensive line come week one against Washington? If you had to make a prediction right now.
You're going to have JP, Big Isaac, Kelsey. I want to say Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson.
Okay, you think Brandon might be out there on week one then?
Yeah, maybe. If not week one, then you have Vitae in there, but I'm thinking Brandon.
Okay. All right. So I think we've all come to the conclusion that we're not going to see Carson Wentz at all in preseason. If we do, it's going to be very, very limited. Marcus Hayes from the Inquirer. Oh, and we're going to have David Murphy wrote a column yesterday. And Jamie, you were pretty onto this right away.
Well, I mean, it's a good idea. It's something we've kind of dove into a little bit. I know I did a Saturday show a couple weeks ago. Like, all right, you know, yeah, everybody thinks we're going to be great, but do we have green goggles on a little bit? Like, are there holes we're missing and glossing over? So David wrote The Skeptic's Guide to the 2019 Eagles. It's kind of like, you know, Jimmy Kempsey will do 10 reasons the Eagles could be a dumpster fire this year. He does it for every team. Deadspin does the this is why your team sucks every year, and they go through every team in the league. So it's kind of, you know, let's take a look at this for real and, you know, let's address the holes maybe or lack of depth in some areas and see what they are.
And so Murph came out with 11-5 NFC Championship appearance, and he kind of left it at that. Didn't say if they'd win or lose. Didn't say if they'd win or lose the Super Bowl. But there was another column, I think it was in Today. Bob Ford wrote about the holding out of Carson Wentz. And is it good? Is it bad? How could it affect him? And he had one little throwaway line in there that really struck me, and I think we all have to think about it. Carson hasn't looked great this preseason. Like Bob Ford said, there's been time, and I've read other guys say, yesterday, there was a tweet to come out, yeah, Carson really struggling today. There's been passes that we've seen he had. Now, there have been times they said, oh, Carson looks good, Carson, you know, deep ball, DeSean Jackson, whatever it may be. But we all know Bob Ford. Bob Ford is as level-headed as there is a columnist in this city. And he had, like, a throw-out line there that said, yeah, Carson hasn't looked great this training camp.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so, oh, I'm so Pat Egan had Zach Berman on this weekend, who said the same thing. So, I don't know. I mean, Trey, you've been through many, many training camps. Were there some where Donovan looked horrible and then just had a good season? Was he consistent throughout? What do you make of maybe Carson Wentz struggling this preseason?
I mean, that's all part of it. I mean, I don't think that he's going to go out there and just light everybody up every day. It's going to be sometimes where the defense is going to win, too. And then, you know, offense always takes a little bit longer than defense to gel anyway, just because of the timing and everything, space and everything that has to happen. So I really don't, you know,
doesn't matter.
Too much, yeah. I mean, this is all part of the progression.
So Carson Wentz has been the focus of all of our attention, rightfully so, nationally, locally, whatever it may be, holding him out because of injury. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth because I hate playing with the fear of injury. I've never been taught that way growing up. When I was coaching, I just can't stand it. But take away Carson Wentz. What's your second biggest concern for this team this season? That I'll even put it a different way, that if it doesn't work out the way you need it to, this things could go poorly.
Mine I've talked about before a couple times, and that's the defensive end position. They're really banking on Derek Barnett to be that guy, to be that double-digit kind of sack guy. And, you know, there's a possibility he could be. He was certainly trending in the right direction after his rookie year. He had the second season stolen from him. But there's no real depth at D-end anymore. Like, you have two known commodities, and that's Vinny Curry and Brandon Graham. Yeah. The rest are kind of wild cards. You know, sure, I like Josh Sweat a little bit. Sure, Deshaun Hall has looked solid so far. You know, that fourth defensive end position is a real position on this team. You know, it might not be for a lot of teams, but here and the way they rotate the line, that guy's going to get probably, like, you know, roughly 35, 40% of snaps, potentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Josh Sweat or Deshaun Hall, look, what happens if Derek Barnett has a shoulder slip up and something gets re-injured? Then what?
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously, the inside of the line is, I think, probably one of the best in football. A Malik Jackson, a Fletcher Cox, and a Timmy Jernigan is unreal depth at the D-tackle position. And then I see the D-end position, and I kind of go, eh.
Yeah. I just, I
hope Derek Barnett pans out.
I just think the interior of that line is so good that I think it's going to make the outside guys, whether it's a Josh Sweat, whoever it may be, I think it's going to make them look a lot better. Trey, is your concern where I think it may be?
Yeah, it's on the offensive line. Yeah. I mean, just the health of the offensive line. You have Lane Johnson with a knee, Brandon Brooks coming back off of Achilles, Jason Kelsey, his whole entire side of his body was messed up. JP, how is his knee coming along? So it's pretty much the health of the offensive line, because if something were to happen to Lane, then now who are you leaning on?
Yeah.
You know, are you because I mean, I don't think you want to as smooth as Andre Dillard has looked, you know, it's a totally different world saying, all right, now I need you to do it in a right-handed stance. You know, that's totally different.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's going to be the backup? Are you going to lean on Jordan? Is it going to be Matt Pryor? Like, what's going to be the situation?
And you said yesterday, Jordan, or you don't think Jordan's ready for game time yet?
Not yet. I think he needs to continue to work on finishing too. You know, just when I watch a couple of plays, you know, he has to get to the point where I look at his punch and it's more of a shove. And you have to be able to finish, you know, and be able to run the ball by the quarterback. You can't just push him and feel like, all right, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Because you have a DN that will loop all the way around and come back around and get him if the quarterback holds the ball at all. So, you know, especially on the injury where Sudfeld got hurt, that was just a shove to just push him by the quarterback. Yeah. And then now you have a quarterback still sitting back there waiting, and he gets hit. You know, we need to avoid all of these situations. So he needs to learn how to finish a little bit better.
So you don't think that Dillard could take the right side in emergency?
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
because Lane's knees, look, not to go all Negadelphian here, this is 2 years in a row he's had knee problems.
Yeah. And he had more than knee. He had ankle also last year. And you wonder if, you know, compensating for one, does it hurt the other? You know.
If Lane were to miss any time, that's a scary proposition.
Yeah, that's real scary. Probably the best in his position in the league.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. When he's right.
I would say so.
Yeah. Tyree in Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tyree?
Hey, what's going on, folks?
How you doing?
Oh, man, the season's almost back. I'm feeling great. My biggest concern, more or less, is the linebacking core. And it's like, I'm always from, even with the Andy Reid era, I always said that, like, you have to have some guys in the middle of the field that can make some plays. And I know that the Eagles, like, we had picked up a guy from Arizona, I believe, actually, towards ACL. And, like, I was thinking to myself the other day, like, who's our starting middle linebacker? Not only that, like, are they going to be able to make the plays? And, you know, we got rid of a lot of our linebackers over the years, and that's always been a concerning position to me, especially when you're out there and you're watching guys like Keith Lee, who I know isn't the healthiest, or like a Bobby Wagner, or they're like the, you know, creme de la creme of linebackers.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner might be the most underrated player in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Watching them, I can watch the Seattle game. And he's
just fun to watch.
Oh, my God. He's just like, when Keith Lee's healthy, like when we played them 2 years ago on the Super Bowl run, and watching Keith Lee, you know, he got hurt that game, but just watching him and like just the depth he gets on his drops and like the plays that he makes, you're just like, wow, like why? Like, I just wish we could somewhere just, I don't know if it's the second round or third round, like if we could land a guy like that, it would be amazing. Even a guy like, and I hate giving any Cowboys credit, but watching Van Der Esch play.
Van Der Esch is a stud.
Yeah. Oh my God. And just, I just, that's the one position that really worries me. I know.
Yeah, it's fair, especially with Kamu going down here. They're counting on as a starter. It's, now you're looking at LJ Fortz and Zach Browns.
And then James, what you said about the DN. Like, I worry about that too, with guys going down. And, like, who is our stud DN outside of Brandon Grant? Like,
it better be Derek Barnett, Tyree, or we're in trouble.
No, I hope he can recapture some of what he had when he had the 5.5 sack his rookie year.
Yeah, and look, you guys got the greatest fumble recovery in Eagles history.
Oh my God!
Yeah, right. Tyree, do you have tickets to FanFest?
No, I do not.
Are you ready for some tickets?
Yes,
you got it. Hold on 1 second, buddy. Yeah,
I believe there's a ticket raid today, Bobby.
Oh, that's right, Jamie.
Yeah, a little online ticket raid today at 3 o'clock. And another major edition getting announced.
Another major edition getting announced. Do we have time?
I don't know 100% who it is, but I've heard some whispers through the grapevine.
Oh, yeah?
And it's a good one.
Yeah, I too have heard some whispers. And
I can't confirm. I don't even know if it's true, but what I've heard is true. It's a doozy.
You can't confirm or deny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's brought to you by toughho.net.
I'm gonna tough hoe.
You should buy that domain name quick.
You really should. It's probably like $6.
Bobby, think I should get on that, Trey?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
If I'm going to anybody for business advice, it's Trey.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, it's 8 o'clock hour, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. The 7 and a 7 and a
97.5 The Fanatic.